Good morning. You have tuned in to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for David Prues. And with me this morning, we have Christelle.
Yeah.
I have to get the accent on the correct syllable. Christelle Marino from the Fairbanks Youth Advocates. And we know them on the street as they operate The Door, which is a youth shelter for kids in Fairbanks. So we're going to learn a little bit about what they do. And if you want to join the program, you have questions or comments, please give us a call. The number to call is 458-8255. That is 458-TALK. And with that, Christelle, tell us a little bit about what you do and how this came into being and a little of the history. That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having us on this morning. We love the opportunity to talk about our kiddos and share some stories. We are Fairbanks Youth Advocates, and more commonly known as one of our programs is The Door, mm-hmm. which is the emergency shelter for Fairbanks and the interior at large. We're not just the city of Fairbanks. We work with kiddos who are 6 to 18 years old. And so The Door, emergency shelter, that looks like beds, food, clothing, educational needs, vocational needs, all the things that a kiddo might need when they're either not in their home environment or they're between different situations, whether that's foster care, a group home. We basic services for the kiddos. We are trying to look and see how we can expand to meet more of their needs since we are seeing such a rise in kiddos lately. We've been operating for close to 14 years now. The original organization of Fairbanks Youth Advocates started 14 years ago, and it actually started in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church downtown Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. And that came about when the Mary Lee Bates, who's the founder of the organization, she started talking about seeing a need for homeless youth. And at the time, that age gap was around 12 to 24. And the city really wanted to see the data and the need for that. And so what that looked like was using the basement of the First Presbyterian Church every night. So it was just a night shelter. So they would open their doors in the evening. Kiddos would come in, stay the night, same thing. They would have dinner and then a safe place to sleep where it was warm out of the cold. And then in the morning, they would go on their way. And so for about 2 years, that's how Fairbanks Youth Advocates functioned, until there was enough data sufficient to present to the city council that an actual structure for a shelter needed to be built for homeless youth. Mm-hmm. So from there, there was a property acquired off 10th Avenue, mm-hmm. and the building was built thanks to the city. It was built from the community development block grant. So that was what built the shelter. And it was built to be a shelter, and specifically for kiddos. So it wasn't like a converted building. It wasn't a converted house. It was built specifically for youth needs. And then what that looked like in terms of safety, protection, all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. So, and then that shelter was built 12 years ago, so we're in our 12th year of operation now in that facility, and then, 14 years of actual agency.
I see. Yes.
Yeah.
And from the inside, it kind of does look like a home. There's a kitchen and a dining room. I can't remember. Well, there's sort of a living mm-hmm. room, and then little, they have bunks. I don't think single rooms, but there's individual rooms and some privacy and what have you. Okay, good. And you accept kiddos from 6 to 18 at
yes.
the door.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they arrive at the door?
They come in all different forms and fashions. We see kiddos who are runaways. We work very closely with OCS for a lot of foster kiddos. We have kiddos who are brought to us from criminal systems. Then we also have, more commonly recently, we have more what we call like parent surrenders, or parents who are bringing their kiddos to us because either something in their life has become overwhelming, mm-hmm. they don't have a means to provide for the kiddo. And so we kind of become that interim while the parent gets back on their feet or has some time to, work a little extra to pay the rent, things like that. So, we have pretty much those kind of our four main categories of kiddos who arrived to us, yeah.
That's an interesting, you mentioned parents will bring children to you. There's another organization, Safe Families, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
They fill in. Do you work with them or?
Yes. Usually when a situation like that happens, Safe Families is one of the first people we call.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. Incredible organization.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. It's interesting. I've learned a lot more than I ever thought I needed to. family problems. And it's sad, but it is a difficult job to raise children. Very difficult job.
There's
no training manual. It's all
exactly.
on-the-job training. So you're there to help out. Good. And so, all right, so what do you do when children are brought to you or show up?
It depends on the situation. First and foremost, is they're going to be welcomed by a staff member into the building. We'll bring them into the office and just ask a couple basic questions like, what's going on? What do you need? What's the situation? And then what can we do to help you best? Sometimes that looks like an intake. Where they're coming from, if it's a referral, we'll intake them into the shelter. Sometimes if it's just a situation where a kiddo is having a miscommunication with a parent or there's some kind of disconnect, what that looks like is having the parent come in and then having a conversation with kid, parent, and then an advocate in the room. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the situation. About 80% of the time it's an intake, and then about 20% of the time it's a reunification with family for that intermediate or that like immediate need when they first come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So can you drop your child off for babysitting?
You say? We don't do that, although we did have a parent recently who was just so overwhelmed, and she had to drop her younger one off while she was doing something. And in that context, her older kiddo was there too. So it was just a few hours. The younger one came in and hung out with the older one, but we don't typically do babysitting.
It's not by the hour.
No. We only have so much space.
Okay. Well, good. So we're coming up on a quarter past the hour. We have to take a break here to hear from our sponsors. And you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me is Christelle Marino, with the Fairbanks Youth Advocates operating the door. So stay with us. We will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
From all of us at Summer Sotheby's,
Merry Christmas, Fairbanks!
Whether you're home for the holidays
or dreaming of your next one,
we're grateful to be a part of this amazing community.
Wishing you warmth, joy, and a wonderful new year.
And quick closings.
Happy holidays, Fairbanks!
Take a break from your holiday shopping and enjoy something delicious at your personal oasis. Instead of grabbing for the last toy on the shelf, do what Santa does. Grab the last French fry or onion ring on the plate. Happy holidays from your friends at the Oasis Restaurant and Lounge, 734 University Avenue.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Do you sleep well? I never sleep. I could brag about how well I do my job, except I realize my success requires teamwork. I am your septic tank. I count on you and Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing to keep me happy, see? But I have my limits and a backup plan. Call Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing to pump me out just once a year. I promise you'll sleep like a baby.
One magical Christmas Eve,
Be there when toys become real and dreams become adventure. The North Star Ballet presents The Nutcracker. Four performances in the Herring Auditorium, Saturday, December 6th at 2 and 8 p.m. and Sunday, the 7th at 1 and 4. See the holiday favorite, The Nutcracker. Visit online, northstarballet.org for information and to buy tickets, or visit the box office. December 6th and 7th, don't miss The Nutcracker.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Cloudy skies expected today, with snow showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 20, winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows dip down to about 17 below. About an inch of snow today. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for David Pruse. And with me in the studio is Christelle Marino from the Fairbanks Youth Advocates. And I forgot to mention, also Representative Frank Tomaszewski is in here. Frank and I are learning more about the door and what Fairbanks Youth Advocates do for the community. And if you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And so with that, Christelle, we got a little bit of the history. That's kind of interesting how things start. The First Presbyterian Church, I guess, was involved with the startup. Are they still involved on the board, or are they kind of the oversight of this organization?
They don't hold any board positions, but they are a financial supporter of us every quarter. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And speaking of financial support, what can somebody do if they would like to contribute to your organization or kind of drop by and see what you do?
Yeah, the easiest way, honestly, for financial support, go to our website and donate. We have a higher number of kiddos than we have had previously. If any of you guys are following us closely, last week we hit our capacity, rolled right into Thanksgiving Day at max capacity with kiddos. And teens eat a lot, so financial support is incredibly helpful. Food donations, clothing donations, and then everything out of the box. And usually that's something we'll ask specifically on our Facebook or our website if we have a unique need. Like a week ago, we had two very young ones come in, and we just didn't have clothing specifically for those. And so we put out a quick need, and in a matter of 3 hours, we were overflowing in young boy clothes. So,
well, really, that's great.
Yeah. So usually just keeping tabs on us. But website is a great place to donate. It also has our needs list for all those one-off things that we need. You can check there.
Mm-hmm. And your website, that is just The Door Fairbanks, and then in Google we'll find you?
I wish it was that short. It's it's FairbanksYouthAdvocates.org.
Oh, okay. FairbanksYouthAdvocates.org. And your telephone number?
907-374-5678.
374-5678. Are there office hours, preferred hours? Are you busy certain times?
We are open 24/7.
24/7.
So, yeah, we have staff on shift all hours of the day. So whenever the need arises, or we'll always answer the phone.
Okay.
So you're talking about food donations. Does your agency ever work with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank? Because I know they have a good program for helping, you know, nonprofits and individuals get food.
Yes, we are. We're set up on their agency shopping list. So occasionally we'll have a staff member run over, grab some fresh fruit, things like that from them. And then a lot of those canned goods, boxed items and stuff like that, because all of that incredibly helpful. But yeah, food bank is awesome.
Oh, great. So, if somebody wants to contribute, and go to your website, FairbanksYouthAdvocates.org, or give you a call, 374-5678, and can drop by. You're on 10th Avenue across from the Clarion Hotel.
Yep.
And 10th Avenue is the one off of the Steese Expressway by the light.
Yep, we're literally like 4 or 5 buildings down from that light. So
yeah, okay, good. And so you work with OCS. They will send children to you if somebody calls OCS, Office of Child Services. That's a state agency, but also parents can call you directly, or kids can stop in if they feel the need. Which, for, I don't know if there will be kids listening, but that's a better place to stop in than cardboard box out in the middle of nowhere at a homeless camp. Yeah, so you're there just to help out, do what you can. And that's really, really a great service. I just admire people that have a heart for that. I don't have the patience, I'm afraid. And so now you're... Kids come to you, you interview them, try to find out how to serve them, meet their needs the best. And what sort of programs do you offer, how do you encourage kids to make the best of the situation, I guess we would call it?
Yeah, so we have a pretty intensive case management that happens. So our shelter director and our advocates will spend time getting to know the kid's situation and understanding what their needs are, and then what the next steps are. So when a kiddo comes to us, if they do an intake, they go through that process, and then usually it's like a day or two to give them some stabilization, get in a right mind, and then it's immediately goal planning or next step. Like, who is somebody else you might be able to stay with if the option isn't going home? If the option is going home, let's get the parent in here and have that conversation and what it looks like for you to transition back, whether that's you guys don't communicate on the same wavelength, or how can we put steps in place so that when you go home, you don't run away again, right? Because the goal is to, every kiddo should be back home. Like, we don't want these kids running away every time something happens or every time they get in trouble.
Right.
With our OCS kiddos, we work very closely with case managers. A lot of the times with them is just a lack of foster families in Alaska as a whole, has been a common reoccurrence, and so we always advocate for people, if you have the capacity to become a foster parent, there are plenty of teens who need foster homes. And so we work closely with the caseworkers to figure out what next best steps are for those kiddos, and some of those services in between, like, do they need to get set up with counseling? Do they need behavioral health? Or even just getting enrolled in school, because a lot of times sometimes our kids are transitioning from one of the villages to Fairbanks, or from Anchorage to up here. So, yeah. Okay.
And we have a phone call, so can we go to the phones?
Right. Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I was just going to appreciate all the things that the folks at the door do. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of instances where they really helped out kids that really didn't have another place to go to. And then I had a kid that made a bad decision, and... they stole my phone, and the folks at the door talked to the kid, and I would have never known it, but they talked to the kid, and the kid contacted me back and gave me my phone back.
Oh.
So they were kind of like parents to them. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of like they give the kids a little bit of space, but they work, you know, with that kind of parental thing, too. They really work as parents. So really good on them. I would say that if folks had, you know, like extra phones, you know, phones that they don't need, that might be something, or electronics that they don't need, that might be something, because that's something that's not really covered by the food bank or other agencies, and they can benefit from that.
Ah, well, good. Well, thank you. Thank you for the good report.
Great job for the community.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. So that's an interesting point, that there is the root cause of all of that, parents and children, is communication. And it is difficult when it's easy for communication to break down, difficult to reestablish it. So are you required to reach out to parents, or do you try to reach out to parents, or how do parents get back involved?
Yeah, upon initial intake, if so our licensing says we have 48 hours to call a parent, that's not going to happen. We're going to call the parent within at least 20 minutes of the intake, because every parent deserves to know where their kiddo is, especially if it's a runaway situation. And from there, usually there's two sides to a story, right? We're youth advocates, but we're also parent advocates. So we see one side when the kid comes in, then that phone call to the parent to let them know that their kiddo is here usually transpires into what else is going on or what are you seeing? Because the kid tells us one thing, you know, like mom's mean to me or dad's mean to me. And then parents on the other hand are saying, well, his behaviors are increased, so I have to increase my discipline, you know, so it's not actually abuse. It's one of those things you have to kind of, you have to know both sides to weigh the situation. And so we talk to the parent, and then we make same thing with the kiddo, has about a day or more to stabilize, and then immediately same thing with the parent. Like, when can you come in to have a conversation? Let's all get in the same room and figure out what's going on. And then you have that safe space where parent and kiddo can say what's frustrating them and then how they can navigate that. So yeah, we definitely, the parents are involved. They have to be involved, especially, yeah, if their kiddo has a chance of going back home, they're going to be there.
Yes. And how do you spell success? I'm thinking there's many ways to spell success, many options that you have to go for. But
yeah, we actually, data is my thing. I love tracking to see how successful we are. And this past year, we actually had a 98% success rate of kids returning back home. For those ones that are coming, obviously not in foster care, but we had a 98% success rate of kiddos going back into the home with their family members because of the work we did with parent and kid to transition them back from shelter to home. So,
Good. And then let's say kiddo doesn't want to talk to parents. What happens next?
That's a reality check, because a lot of times they think they can run to us and not have that conversation. And as adults, we don't do that, right? And so the whole thing we're trying to teach these kiddos is that you can't hide from the problem. Like, if you just keep running from it, it's only going to get worse, right? And we tell kiddos too, like, you know, if you were to sit here 30 days and then we have this conversation, it's going to be 10 times worse, because then there's more anger that's involved. There's space, there's more time for them to realize everything else they're frustrated on. And so, yeah, the earlier or the sooner, the better that we can work out the situation. Yeah, it's
okay.
That's the route we go.
Right. And I hear the music starting in the background. That means that the satellite's coming overhead and it's going to take over the program in just about 15 or 20 seconds. So we got to take a break here from our sponsors and hear some national news. So, you're listening to Problem Corner, and with me in the studio today are Christelle Marino from Fairbanks Youth Advocates and Frank Tomaszewski. And we'll take a break here, listen to the news, listen to the weather, listen to advertisements, and we will be right back. So stay with us.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming
live. Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump pardoning Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar and his wife after the Justice Department, under former President Biden, indicted them in May of last year for money laundering, conspiracy, and allegedly taking $600,000 in bribes to influence policy. Congressman Cuellar maintaining he did nothing wrong.
I want to thank President Trump for his action that he took. On behalf of my wife and my family, I want to say thank you. I think the facts have been very clear about this.
President Trump's nominee to lead NASA is on Capitol Hill for his second confirmation hearing. Billionaire private astronaut Jared Isaacman taking questions from the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee.
This is not the time for delay, but a time for action. Because if we fall behind, if we make a mistake, we may never catch up. And the consequences could shift the balance of power here on Earth.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports that the Alaska High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Initiative, known as HITDA, has launched a new statewide advertising campaign urging Alaskans to report suspected drug trafficking as law enforcement continues to battle the flow of fentanyl and other dangerous narcotics into the state. The campaign, branded hashtag Catch and Detain, encourages residents to share tips with local, state, or federal authorities or submit information anonymously through the AKTIP smartphone app. The push comes amid a continued surge in fentanyl trafficking. In 2024, Alaska law enforcement seized tens of millions of potentially lethal doses and made hundreds of arrests. Despite those efforts, overdose deaths remain high across the state. HITDA agencies say public reporting is a critical part of disrupting drug distribution networks, especially in remote or underserved communities. Alaska's HITDA program was designated in 2018 and includes partnerships among local police departments, state agencies, and federal law enforcement. More details can be found at akhidta.org.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Thank you, Fairbanks. Pump Up the Kids Adopt a Family is well underway, and we're so grateful for your amazing support to help provide a memorable Christmas for families in need. If you generously picked up a gift tag or adopted a family from the radio station, our gift drop-off location is now open. You can bring your gifts Monday through Friday from 12 to 6 p.m. at the Cornerstone Mall, 505 Old Steese Highway, right next to Sunfix Tanning, now through December 17th. But we're not done yet. We still need adopters and are in need of stocking stuffers. We still have gift tags for pickup and are also looking for gift cards for stores like Fred Meyer, Walmart, Costco, or any other gift card that can make a difference this holiday season. Stop by Monday through Friday, 12 to 6, at Cornerstone Mall through December 17th. Thank you, Fairbanks. A special thank you goes to Lotto Alaska and the members of the Napa Auto Care Group like Frontline Automotive, Gabe's Truck and Auto, plus McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine, Kumon, and Samard Automotive.
Make those Christmas dreams come true with help from Frontier Outfitters, the outdoor store. Light up the eyes of your outdoor lovers. Alaska-proven clothing and equipment for fishing, hunting, camping, and hiking. Guns and gear, GPS, and more. You'll find the perfect gifts in one easy stop. Give a Frontier Outfitters gift card. It can also be used in Century Hardware and the Woolly Rhino as well. And gift wrapping is free. Your holiday shopping just got easier at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Looking for a way to serve your state and secure your future? The Alaska Army National Guard offers tuition assistance, career training, and part-time service with full-time benefits. Build real-world skills, earn extra income, and be a part of a team that protects Alaska when it matters most. Your adventure starts here. Talk to your local recruiter today. The Alaska Army National Guard. Live here, work here, serve here. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And with me in the studio are Crystal Marino, from the Fairbanks Youth Advocates Operating the Door, and Representative Frank Tomaszewski. If you want to join the program, have questions or comments, the number to call is 458-8255. That is 458-TALK.
Well, I have a question.
We did. We had a good conversation going during the break, so we should continue that conversation on the air.
Looked at your website, and I see that you may sometimes take volunteers, and you have a volunteer application. Can you maybe explain a little bit about what a volunteer would do? And it looks like you could do one volunteer or groups of volunteers.
Yeah, we definitely love our volunteers, right? Because, I mean, staff can only do so much, and it's also a really great way to be involved with the kiddos or make an impact or have a relational impact on them. And so we do, we have individual volunteers who come in, will make dinner, bake cookies, do a cooking class, do activities with the kiddos. Sometimes that's a game night, movie night. In the summer, we do a lot of bonfires. We have a green space on our property with a bonfire pit and just play some music outside. We also, group volunteers, we have, and those are larger groups who come in, and those ones are project specific. So we had a flooring upgrade this summer. We had a group come in and demolish one of our structures on our property to prepare it for future building. We had groups come out, do stuff with our garden. So all different ways to volunteer. And we also like when our volunteers get creative with how they can make an impact, or if they have a skill that they're really good at, or something that they can offer, even like a life skill for kiddos or like a budgeting class. If that's up your alley, then yeah, contact us and we'll set it up. The website has our volunteer application. You can also give us a call and we'll shoot you that application through an email.
Okay. And your website is FairbanksYouthAdvocates.org.
Correct.
And the number to call?
907-374-5678.
5678. Okay. And I would imagine that you have to have some sort of a screening process for volunteers.
We actually, as long as you're supervised by a staff member, the only thing we would be hesitant is if there's like a criminal background or something to do with like harm to a child. Mm-hmm. And that would usually be disclosed on the volunteer application. Other than that, as long as a staff member is supervising you, you don't have to do the full background check through the estate. And we ran into that issue previously. It was sometimes background checks take a month, 2 months to go through. And by that time, right, the volunteer is long gone, right?
Right.
And so we talked to our licensing. As long as the staff member is there, you're free to be volunteer.
Easier than I thought,
yeah,
which is
mm-hmm.
always good.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's an application form on your website.
Yep.
Or give a call.
Yes.
And see what you can offer, see what's needed, and go from there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, that sounds like a great way to get involved. And, you know, I many hands make light work.
Absolutely.
And there's always something to do. Something I was curious about is for the kids who are staying there, like what is the duration, like an average duration of someone being in the building and staying with you guys? Also, what chores do they have to do? I know I still have three kids at home, and I require them to do the dishes and take care of their laundry and a host of other chores. I'm just wondering how you guys handle that with the kiddos at your location there.
Yeah. I'll answer the two separately. Usually, time frame of kiddo staying is usually 5 to 10 days, especially if it's a parent or a home reunification. Usually those happen pretty quickly. And then some of our longer term stays are kiddos who either in the foster system or they just have no other options and they're really stuck in between situations. And those have gone anywhere from 30 days to a couple months. Usually we try to not do that because we don't want a kid to have to be stuck in a shelter long term. But usually I would say, 5 to 10 days on average for a kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
The chore thing, I love it. We had two staff who actually just came up with this whole program involving chores and a reward system for it. And so every day they meet one-on-one with a staff member and they have a chore chart in front of them and they pick what chore they're going to do every single day for the week, right? So mm-hmm. Monday I'm cleaning the kitchen after dinner, or I'm doing the dishes. Tuesday I'm wiping down all the counters. Thursday I'm sweeping, so on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then so part of that program, then one kiddo every day is a chore captain, and so that kiddo goes behind all the others to make sure they did it right, to create that accountability.
Yeah.
And then also some of that leadership, you know. Right. And then so on the other side of that, they have the chore thing. If they do the chore, they have, it's called the youth buck system. And so they have like a bank account. It's like Monopoly money. So they open a bank account and then they earn youth bucks for doing a chore. And then like good behavior or doing something nice for a peer also will get them those youth bucks. And then let's say they don't do their chore or they have bad behavior or something, it deducts from their system, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's all part of a reward thing. And in the month that it's been operating, I have never seen kids so ecstatic about doing chores. Previously, it was just like, you have to do your chores this week, and usually they grumble and fight. And now they're excited about it. They're taking on extra chores so they can earn extra bucks. And then what they can cash that in for is like sometimes like a bag of chips, or like on the weekends they can stay up 30 minutes later, a game night or a pizza party. So things like that. They can also like give these bucks to their peers and like so they can go in together on something.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has, like, made a huge difference. Like, the shelter is cleaner than it's ever been, honestly. So
yeah, it almost sounds like, you know, you're preparing them for life skills there.
Exactly.
You know, you have a job, and that's how you get money, and you pay for things. So that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of their action plan or their goal planning every week, too, is that they have to choose a life skill that they want to learn. And that was more so targeted to our 16 to 17-year-olds who are on that age of transition. But, like, right now we have an 8-year-old who is gung-ho, going crazy, like, learning all these life skills. Like, I had an 8-year-old learn how to snowblow with me last week. So it's a skill that, you know, he'll have because it's Alaska and it's snowing outside today.
Right.
So
yes.
Yeah.
If people had chores that some kiddo could do, this would, I'm thinking remote. Of course, it can't be out in Nenana or something like that. There are limitations. But do you make arrangements like that? If, for instance, a business wanted their sidewalk cleaned or something like that?
We typically don't, because you run into child labor things.
Yeah.
We have some of our 18-year-olds are ones on the age of adulthood right there, mm-hmm. so they are able to consent for themselves and if they're looking for day jobs like that. We have had people come in and ask them. It's very rare on occasion, but yeah, no, we don't have the kiddos do chores for other agencies, just for their stay.
Yeah,
so.
I can see that
yeah.
would make your job is complicated enough, and you've got to put some limits to that. But people can come over and work with kids.
Yeah, definitely.
And that might only be a couple hours a day time commitment or something like that.
Yeah, like I said, you have volunteers who come in and we'll, like, teach them how to bake brownies or teach them how to cook a meal, things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So that's really interesting that it isn't just a place to hang out. Completely unstructured, you're trying to encourage people, kids, to develop life skills and learn new things, and that's always good. That gives them self-confidence and a feeling of self-worth. I helped out. That is mm-hmm. really kind of important for everybody to figure out that you are contributing back.
Absolutely. That's yeah. terrific for kids to be involved in that. Now, I was wondering, you know, if, you know, I have teenagers still at home, and if, you know, sometimes they like to be on their electronics and have a lot of screen time or get on the Xbox, what do you guys do for that as far as some sort of policy? How do you handle all the screen time and phone usage and all of that?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it is restrict the Wi-Fi, right? So it cuts off at a certain time at night so they're not on their phones all night, staying mm-hmm. up and tired for school. In the evenings, usually when we do have a lot of kiddos too, they're allowed a 2-hour block on video game systems, whether that's like the PlayStation, Xbox, like that. We definitely have our Wi-Fi locked down too, so they can't access anything that's illegal or anything that will be harmful to them. We're running into a lot of online gaming systems nowadays, or even online messaging systems that are putting kiddos at risk. So we have limits on that. But otherwise, yeah, we just try to make sure that they have their time blocks. And we have our evening staff are really good at engaging with the kids, whether that's like their chore stuff. Last night they did a PowerPoint on a life skill, or just doing active games like painting, things like that, to get them off their phones. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, you know, I mean, they have if they have their own phone, they'll have their own Wi-Fi and have their own data. Is that something that do you guys like take their phones, keep their phones out of their rooms at night? Because that's sometimes a rule for me if my kids are maybe, you know, have things to do and, you know, I want them to get some sleep. It's like, okay, well, you leave your phone downstairs and it makes it a little easier.
Mm-hmm. If it becomes a problem, then yes, we can. If they outright refuse, or it all goes back to their reward system, right? So they're going to lose points. Like if they're on their phone distracting their peers at night, they're going to lose points or lose their bank account money, things like that. And I would say usually that stops the problem up front. Or the other thing is we say we're going to just block your device from any Wi-Fi or anything in the building. So mm-hmm. usually solves it.
Yeah, good. All right, so, yes, we're getting now towards a quarter to the hour. So we have to take a little break here to hear from our sponsors. And with me this morning is Christelle Marino from the Fairbanks Youth Advocates. We know them as The Door. And we've got to take a break, listen to our sponsors, and stay with us. We will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Total Toyo would like to say happy holidays and to remind you to put your feet up, have a well-deserved rest this Christmas, and let every day of the season be filled with joy and warmth. Happy holidays from Total Toyo. Happy holidays from everyone at the Spur and Tony Sports Bar. Whether you're two-stepping under the mistletoe or raising a glass with friends, they're grateful to celebrate the season with you. From everyone at the Spur and Tony Sports Bar, cheers to a joyful holiday and an even better new year.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Selling your home, it's one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You could go it alone, trying to navigate market trends, determine fair pricing, and tackle tricky negotiations on your own. You could second guess every decision, wondering if you're doing it right. Then there's the showings, the offers, and the mountain of paperwork. Or you could work with the expertise of a Realtor, here to guide and help protect as you make your next big move. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. Right by you.
This is the story of the one. As the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, she knows the only thing more important than having the right safety gear is having it there when you need it. That's why she partners with Grainger for auto reordering, so her team members can count on her to have cut-resistant gloves on hand, and each shift can run safely and efficiently. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 20. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. About an inch of snow today. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And with me in the studio, we have Representative Frank Tomaszewski and Christelle Marino. Christelle is working with the Fairbanks Youth Advocates, and they're operating The Door, which is down on 10th Avenue. And if you want to participate in the program, you have a question or a comment, call 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, Crystal, you, what are the main challenges that come to you, I guess?
I think...
Are there some common ones, I guess?
Yeah, I think one of our biggest challenges overall in shelter is not having a lot of supportive services in Fairbanks for kiddos, and that's like counseling, behavioral health across the board is always a low. And connecting, and a lot of times... that looks like families that are low income or no insurance too that can't access some of the providers. So that's one of our biggest challenges. Another one we're seeing more recently is trafficking, whether that's online sex trafficking, human trafficking. A lot of our kiddos are interfacing with people who are not safe on online systems. And that's just not our kiddos. That's kiddos across the district. And so those of you, I mean, who are parents with kiddos, really pay attention to what your kids are doing on their phones. Restrict certain apps, things like that, because we've had I want to say like 99% of our kiddos who have come through the shelter have been experienced some form of trafficking. And we're working with a couple other local agencies to see how we can counter that. And so those are our two biggest problems, and that compromise safety and really make it difficult, because kiddos, once that connection is made, it's really hard to break it in a trafficking situation. So, that's one of our biggest challenges we see now, too.
Are there particular apps or ways that they are connecting that a parent should be looking for to really keep an eye on?
Yeah, the teens, the common ones, all your social media apps, really, TikTok, Snapchat is probably one of the biggest ones. And then you've got all these like Discord and these little miscellaneous apps that are popping up nowadays that have some sort of chat feature. And then for younger kiddos, it's games like Roblox, Animal Crossing, I know was one like a 5-year-old is playing. And that was in Fairbanks, and somebody was messaging them and the parent ended up catching it, which stopped a potential trafficking situation early. So games like that, and kids too that age are so young and they just don't know somebody's messaging them. They're just answering, right?
Yep.
But that person is slowly like gathering information, like, what's your name? What's your birthday? Where do you live? And so they're starting to like hone in on those things. So be very cautious of any sort of online gaming or social media.
Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting hour or two program in and of itself.
Oh, for sure. I could talk about that for days.
Yes, because I've already told you everything I know about that.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Parents really need to be vigilant on that. That is important.
We did a talk to the school district one time, and all the teachers, and there was parents and counselors, and everybody were there. On that topic, because it's becoming so prominent, and the school district is even seeing now like flags every day on their kiddos, the laptops and stuff that they're using of stuff they're doing. So,
And so if some group wanted to invite you to come and speak about that, would you be willing to do that?
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Just give us a call and we can set up, what to look for, risk factors, prevention methods, all things.
That's good to know, because honestly, I wouldn't know where to start. I didn't grow up with the internet, and frankly, the internet really didn't show up until my kids were almost out of the house. So.
Yeah. I will say, we're not experts in this by any means, but we're taking what we're seeing and, putting it out there. So it's real hard evidence that's going on with our kiddos. So.
And I imagine you see a lot more than, the average parent. Just because of the fact that the kids are coming to you for reasons that, and it is definitely something that we need to pay attention to.
Right. Now, if somebody wants to know more about your work at the door, I suppose they should at least call first.
Yeah.
But do you take time out during the day that if somebody comes by there, they can explain something to you, or if they, maybe I need parenting advice on how to monitor this?
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually thinking about partnering with another agency about some classes too for parents. We've had people swing in and just talk to us, or a lot of times parents will call and just be like, I don't know what to do with my kid because of this situation or that situation. And we just kind of, it's that, sometimes it's just a sounding board. Like, I just need somebody else to hear it to see if I'm crazy or not, And most of the time, they're spot on. Like, parents are very intuitive. So.
Good. And if they want to get in touch with you, of course, the number that they can call would be?
907-374-5678.
All right. And your website address?
FairbanksYouthAdvocates.org.
And they can send an email from there if they want to.
Yeah.
Get in touch with you.
Yep.
And somebody can call back and make arrangements, as it were.
Now, does Fairbanks Youth Advocates do anything else besides the door? Is there other things that you're involved with?
Yeah, we actually, this last year, we did a whole street outreach program, and it wasn't street outreach specifically as it typically is. We put a map of the city of all the unsafe places that we knew teens were going. We tracked a teen camp for a little while before it dispersed before the winter. So we got hard data on like possible places kids are being trafficked, or like when a kid runs away, if they're not with us, where they might be. So those are resources we can give to law enforcement sooner. So they're not, you know, running around town looking for them. We also just recently launched a transitional program for 18 to 24. It's called Evolve. And so that's a life skill slash housing support. So we have one house on one of our properties that functions as, the transitional housing. So they have a room, and then they're building life skills alongside of it. So we've got one kiddo who transitioned from shelter to that program right now. And by the time he leaves the program in 6 months, he's going to have enough savings in his account for first, actually probably like 6 months reserve for housing and things like that. And then so he's got a good job right now, and we're working on, he just bought his first car, working on different things like that. So that's our newest program.
So some great success stories on that. I know so that's far, been an issue that when kids would age out of, say, foster care, and then there hasn't been a whole lot of resources for them, and they kind of wander wherever they end up. And it seems to me, did President Trump, he kind of put an emphasis on that particular thing. Are you aware of that? Or
yeah, it's actually 18 to 24 is the fastest growing age group for homelessness. I think in the state, and I think across the nation, and that's why they're putting in so many programs or grant funding for those. We are working to acquire one of those. Unfortunately, it's not available for Fairbanks right now, but we're doing it without the funding at this point. We're just finding a way because the kids deserve to have somebody fighting for them. And yeah, we saw 18-year-olds who would turn 18 and immediately become homeless or go to an unsafe place because they don't know what's next, or they don't have life skills to know how to navigate situations. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we put the program in place, and we're still in the early stages. We're 4 months in with it. But the goal is to eventually build more housing to operate that program and transition those kiddos.
So when you say Fairbanks isn't able to get those yet, is it because the federal government hasn't stood up the program and have a real clear way to get those grants?
Mostly because the funding for that program is in a renewal phase right now. So only projects who are only already established can get the funding versus new projects being started. We thought it was going to be a new project this year, and unfortunately it wasn't. But we're still going to keep trying for that funding so it can all help our kiddos. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting how we've got just about half a minute left. Yeah. So if you could give us how to contact you, for people can get involved. Any last remarks, yes.
Yeah. Honestly, we can't do it without the community. And that has shown up to us last week. So we appreciate everybody's support, whether you're donating, showing up to our door, spending time with the kids. Yeah, volunteering. And again, that number, 907-374-5678, or go to our website, fairbanksyouthadvocates.org. Find us, show up, come talk to us. We'd love to get y'all involved because these kiddos have some crazy stories, but it's not the end of their story.
Right. A key point.
Amen to that.
Yes. Right. Yes. Well, very good. Well, thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for listening to us this morning on Problem Corner, and we're going to have to go to the news and the weather, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Car prices to come down on Lisa Brady, Fox News. Now that he's rolling back Obama and Biden-era fuel efficiency standards that he says forced automakers to build cars with expensive technology, driving up costs and prices.
People were paying.